Forgot what is the chapter number? Okay, 22nd chapter, 21st verse. Right, thank you. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advait Chandra Jaya Kaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda Jaya Advait Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advait Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda Jaya Advait Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So today we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 22, The Process of Devotional Service, Verse Number 21. केवल ज्ञान मुक्ति दीते नारे भक्ति विने। कृष्णोन मुखे से ही मुक्ति होए बिना ज्ञाने। केवल ज्ञान मुक्ति दीते नारे भक्ति विने। कृष्णोन मुखे से ही मुक्ति होए बिना ज्ञाने। केवल ज्ञान मुक्ति दीते नारे भक्ति विने। कृष्णोन मुखे से ही मुक्ति होए बिना ज्ञाने। केवल ज्ञान मुक्ति दीते नारे भक्ति विने। कृष्णान मुखे से ही मुक्ति होए बिना ज्ञाने। केवल ज्ञान मुक्ति दीते नारे भक्ति विने। कृष्ण मुखे से ही मुक्ति होए बिना ज्ञाने। केवल ज्ञान मुक्ति दीते नारे भक्ति विने। कृष्ण मुखे से ही मुक्ति होए बिना ज्ञाने। केवल ज्ञान मुक्ति दीते नारे भक्ति विने। कृष्ण मुखे से ही मुक्ति होए बिना ज्ञाने। केवल ओनली ज्ञान स्पेकुलेटिव नॉलेज मुक्ति लिबरेशन दीते टू डिलीवर नारे इज नॉट एबल भक्ति विने। Without devotional service, Krishna unmukhe, if one is attached to the service of Lord Krishna, Se mukti, that liberation, hoy appears, vina, without, jnane, knowledge. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Speculative knowledge alone, without devotional service, is not able to give liberation. On the other hand, even without knowledge, one can obtain liberation if one engages in the Lord's devotional service. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One cannot attain liberation simply by speculative knowledge. Even though one may be able to distinguish between Brahm and matter, one's liberation will be hampered if one is misled into thinking that the living entity is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, one falls down again onto the material platform, because considering oneself the Supreme Person, the Supreme Absolute Truth, is offensive. When such a person comes in contact with a pure devotee, he can actually become liberated from material bondage and engage in the Lord's service. A prayer by Bilomangal Thakur is relevant here. Bhakti stvai sthi स्थिरतरा भगवान यदि स्याद दैवेन न फलति दिव्य किशोर मूर्ति मुक्ति स्वयं मुकुलितांजलि सेवते अस्मान धर्मार्थ काम गतये समय प्रतीक्षा. ओ माय लॉर्ड, इफ वन एंगेजेस इन योर प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस विद डिटर्मिनेशन, यू बिकम विजिबल इन योर ओरिजिनल ट्रांसेंडेंटल यूथफुल फॉर्म एज द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड. As far as liberation is concerned, she stands before the devotee with folded hands, waiting to render service. Religion, economic development, and sense gratification are all automatically attained without separate endeavor. ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकय चक्षु उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः. नमः ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने. नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे. जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. Once again, I am fortunate to be here and speaking on Chaitanya Charitamrita with your blessings. It's a great honor. So we are reading the instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. And in last few verses, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing how the process of bhakti is much, much superior to any other processes, including karma, fruitive activities, jnana, speculative knowledge, and yoga, meditating on the Lord in the heart. So in this particular verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is emphasizing that jnana is neither necessary nor sufficient, and bhakti is both necessary and sufficient. So when he says one can get liberation by performing devotional service to Krishna, Krishna unmukhe, even without jnana, that shows jnana is not necessary. Jnana is not required. And when he says that just by jnana, without bhakti, one cannot get liberation, that means jnana is not sufficient. So jnana is neither necessary nor sufficient as a process. Of course, we do need sambandha jnana, jnana to perform bhakti. That is not speculative knowledge. That jnana is part of bhakti. But as a process, jnana is not required. We have a very nice example in Vrindavan of the wives of the Brahmanas. Once Krishna Balaram with their friends were playing at the border of Vrindavan and Mathura. And there the boys became hungry. And they neither had lunch box, they already eaten lunch, and there were neither trees with fruits. So the boys approached Krishna that we are hungry. So Krishna sent the boys to the village of the Brahmanas who were performing yajna, and he told them, you go and beg some prasad for them from them. Due to the yajna, already they have cooked nice feast. And the yajna is almost culminating, so it is right time to distribute prasad. So all the sakhas, the boys, or coward boys, they went to the village of the brahmanas. They paid full dandavat pranam to the brahmanas. Naradevta, they call them Naradevta, demigods on earth planet. Humans, best of humans, demigods among human society. And they told them, Krishna Balarama are nearby and they are hungry, we are hungry, please give us some prasad. But the brahmanas didn't even reply. The brahmanas didn't said, come later, or wait for 5 minutes, or we will not give you. They didn't even reply. If a hungry 5-year-old, 6-year-old boy or girl comes at our door, stranger, unknown, and says, I am hungry, what will we do? We will give. Because some children are hungry around us, we should be happy to give. If an adult stranger comes at somebody's door, they may hesitate and have fear, maybe he has some motivation. But a child is coming at the door hungry, but the brahmanas didn't give. The boys felt bad. They came back to Krishna. And they said, we are very disappointed. Krishna laughed. He said, don't worry. In begging, this happens. Just like when we do book distribution, not everybody responds favorably. And that's fine. So Krishna said, go back. Go back to the same village, to the same houses. But this time go to the wives of the brahmanas. They are my devotees. They will give you. So they went back to the same house, same houses. And the wives of the brahmanas, because there was yajna program in the family, in the village, they were sitting very nicely decorated with nice saris and ornaments and flower garlands. And they had cooked big feast for the program. And they have cooked puris and halwa and butter and kheer and malpua and sabjis, etc. We don't have time to tell the whole menu. So they cook so many items. And the boys approach the wives and they say, Mataji, Krishna Balaram are nearby and they are hungry. As soon as the wives heard Krishna Balaram are nearby, they took big, big pots of prasad and rushed to give to Krishna. So their husbands and their fathers and their in-laws and their brothers and mothers and the village elders, they stopped them, don't go, don't go. But they didn't care because they had love for Krishna, so they rushed and they approached Krishna and gave all the prasad, and Krishna was very pleased. And they wanted to embrace Krishna because they were in conjugal love, but publicly they couldn't do that, so they accepted Krishna through their eyes and in the heart they embraced him. So these wives of brahmanas first time saw Shyam Sundar Krishna, and just by hearing his name invoked so much love that they rushed to give him prasad. How did they develop so much love for Krishna? Not by jnana, but by hearing. The fruit vendor Matajis and the betel seller Matajis and cloth merchant Matajis, they would go to Nandagaon to sell products. Then they will come to the village of the brahmanas also to sell products. And when they come to the village of the brahmanas, they will interact with the wives of the brahmanas to sell the products to them. And during the interaction, they will talk about Krishna. He lifted Govardhan Hill today. He stole Makhan today. He played wrestling today. He dresses like this. He looks like this. And just by hearing from these sellers, merchant woman, just by hearing, they developed so much love for Krishna that when their family was saying no, still they went to serve Krishna. So then Krishna told, thank you very much for the prasad. It's good you came. Now you go. Bye-bye. And the wife said, what is happening? You mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha isyami ma sucha. That once somebody surrenders to you, you accept them. We have come to surrender to you. Now you accept us. We can't go back to the home. There our parents and our in-laws and our brothers and our husbands, they will not accept us. They told us not to come, still we came. You know, 5,000 years before, if a married lady is told by her husband and in-laws and parents not to go and meet a boy, and still she goes and meet a boy, will she be accepted back in the house? She will not be accepted back. Even today it will be an issue. 5,000 years before, it's more strict culture. So they said, we will not be accepted back. We can't go back to the house. We have come to you. You accept us. Now what will Krishna do? Will Krishna take all these wives of the Brahmanas to Nandgaon? And what will he tell his father Nanda Maharaj? That I went to take care of cows and I brought some girlfriends who are wives of the Brahmanas. That will not work out in Nandgaon. So the wives cannot go back to their houses. Krishna cannot take them to his house. So then the wives prayed, because they understood Krishna's dilemma. They didn't want it to embarrass him. He said, my dear Krishna, we understand you can't take us to Nandgaon. We have only one request. When you dance with the gopis, the tulsi mala in your neck, Krishna wears garland of tulsi leaves. The garland of tulsi leaves in your neck, it breaks and falls on the ground. And then it comes under your feet and the gopis' feet when you dance. So that tulsi leaves which get crumbled under the feet of the gopis and you, that tulsi leaves you give, we will keep those tulsi leaves on our head and live in the forest. We will survive like that. So they didn't want to push Krishna that you take us to Nandgaon. And they don't know, they can't go back to their houses. So they are ready to stay in the forest with the tulsi leaves, crushed under Krishna's and gopis' feet. So Krishna told, you go back to your houses, your husbands and in-laws and parents, they will respect and accept you, don't worry. So they went back and nobody told anything to them. And they participated in the yajna. And from that day onwards, the husbands of these wives, they didn't see their wives as wives. They didn't deal with them as wives. They dealt with them as gurus. They would respect and offer that service to them, because they realized they are more fortunate. And the Brahmanas were started thinking that to hell with our Vedic knowledge, to hell with our Sanskrit study, to hell with this yajna, to hell with this brahmacharya in the Gurukul, to hell with all this jnana. We are not fortunate, but our wives never studied Vedas, never went to Gurukul to get jnana, but they are more fortunate because they have love for Krishna and we don't have love for Krishna. So this story proves, this verse, that just by jnana one cannot get liberation. When somebody is practicing jnana process, speculative knowledge, without any bhakti, without any service to Krishna, he will not get liberation. And if somebody is doing bhakti, he doesn't need jnana, he can directly get liberation. So this speculative knowledge means using our mind to reach to a conclusion. Our knowledge is reading scriptures and reaching a conclusion, hearing acharyas and spiritual master and reaching a conclusion. But speculative knowledge means you don't need books and guru. You just keep thinking, discussing and reach a conclusion. So at most a person can reach the conclusion that I am not this body. That's all. Nobody can reach a conclusion that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead just by thinking. He has to receive the knowledge from Guru Parampara. So jnani may come to the platform that Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahm. I am spiritual, I am not matter, I am spirit, I am Sachidanand, I am permanent, I am eternal, and everything around me is matter, is temporary. But from here, if he doesn't go to bhakti, then he will understand that I am absolute truth, I am God. See, there are two things. I am God, I am not God. If I am not matter and I am not God, then God created everything. He is superior. So there should be subordination. I am inferior. He is superior. So there is subordination and there is love and service. That is bhakti. But if this is not there, then I am God. Then that is offense. Krishna is superior to me, so there should be loving devotional service. There should be surrender. He is master, I am servant. He is maintainer, and I am being maintained. He is independent, and I am dependent. He is supreme creator, supreme controller, supreme proprietor, supreme enjoyer, supreme maintainer, supreme maintainer, supreme master. And I am tiny, Anu, he is Vibhu. So there is love and there is service. Love means service. Love doesn't mean saying I love you and over. That is not love. If a girl and boy, girlfriend, boyfriend or husband, wife, they meet in the park, girl, boy, and the boy tells girl, I love you. And the girl says, look, I am thirsty, can you get me some water? And the boy says, no, no, I already told you I love you, that's all, nothing else. Will that be called love? No. Love means seva. Love means service. So knowing that Krishna is superior to me, God is superior to me, one should engage in service. But a jnani, if he thinks that I am different from matter and I am equal to God, I am absolute truth, then that is offense. Thinking oneself God is offense. We are not. We are souls, part and parcel of Krishna. There is an example in Krishna book about Pondrak. Pondrak is a king of Karush. And he thought, I am God. And his followers started addressing him as God, Vasudev. And when many people started addressing him as God, Vasudev, he really thought they are all correct. One can be wrong, two can be wrong, how 100 can be wrong? So I must be God. And he started wearing yellow dhoti and putting a peacock feather in his helmet and wearing a Vaijanti type mala, and he purchased a duplicate Kaustubh Mani and he started wearing it. And he had two hands, but he wanted to give understanding that I am Vasudev with four hands. So he somehow got two hands of some paper or something and he started carrying duplicate Shankh Chakra Gada Padma. He started dressing like Krishna, four-handed form Vishnu. And he was having such audacity, he wrote a letter to Krishna in Dwaraka. And in the letter he sent, the messenger read the letter in Dwaraka, that Vasudev, I am here with writing this to you, that I am real Bhagwan Vasudev, you are not. You are cheating people by claiming yourself to be God. I have taken avatar, incarnation, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya duskrita, to kill the demons and protect devotees. So I herewith tell you, order you to come and surrender to me and give your Sudarshan Chakra. If you don't do that, we will settle the matter in a war. When everybody in Dwarka assembly, Ugrasen, Krishna, Akrur and Kritavarma and Satyaki, they all heard this, what did they do? They had laughed. They laughed like anything. They said, wow, this is good joke, joke of the year, very nice and interesting. Balaram was not present at that time. So Krishna told the messenger, take my reply right now. And what did he reply? He said, you rascal Pondrak, you claim to be real God and you want me to surrender my Sudarshan Chakra. Right now I am coming and giving you Sudarshan Chakra. Let me see if you can handle it. And Krishna took an army and went to fight with Pondrak. He saw Pondrak with his dress as Vasudev and his chariot with flag of Garuda and all this stuff. And Krishna again had a laugh and they had a fight and Krishna killed Pondrak. Because Pondrak was offensive. Thinking oneself God is offense. Trying to enjoy this world as if I am Krishna is offense. Claiming to the world that I am God is offense, or I am great personality is offense. Claiming to the world what I am not is offense, is sinful. To claim I am a great soul, I am Atma, I am pure sadhu, but inside I am not, that is pretense. Inside not equal to outside, that is offense. So a jnani who comes to this understanding that I am God, he is doing offense. So he cannot get liberated. The only way such a person can get benefit is when he comes in contact with a pure devotee of Krishna. Because a pure devotee not only will make him understand the real position, the constitutional position, Jivera Swarupa Hoye Krishnera Nitya Das, that our Swarup, our constitutional natural position is to be servant of servant of servant of Krishna eternally. But a pure devotee will engage him in Krishna's service. And that service can give him liberation, not jnana. The example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came in contact with Sarvam Bhattacharya. Sarvam Bhattacharya was a jnani, mayavadi actually. Impersonalist, mayavadi. Not ordinary mayavadi, scholar. Number one scholar, Bhattacharya. There is guru, there is acharya, there is Bhattacharya, with title. He would even give sannyas to young boys. And he would teach all over the country, India. He was the greatest scholar of his time in Sharirik Bhashya, the commentary of Shankaracharya on Vedanta Sutra. And when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had taken sannyas at age 24, very young sannyasi, he told, you have taken sannyas at very young age, it's not easy to maintain sannyas, but I can help you maintain it by teaching you Vedanta Sutra, Sharirik Bhashya commentary. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, whatever you seem fit to do, you are my well-wisher. And for almost 28 or 29 days, Sarvam Bhattacharya taught him Sharirik Bhashya, Shankara's commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And for 28 days, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat and heard it patiently. Then after all these days, Sarvam Bhattacharya said, my dear Mahaprabhu, you are hearing it patiently. At no point you are expressing or saying that yes, okay, fine, or I have a doubt. Neither you speak nor you have any face expression which makes me understand whether you are understanding or not. Neither you ask a question nor you shake your hand saying yes, all right. So how will I know you are understanding? I am speaking since 28 days. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Sarvam Bhattacharya, because you are my well-wisher, you requested me to hear, I am hearing. As far as Vedanta Sutra is Vedanta Sutra is concerned, I understand Vedanta Sutra already very clearly. Like the sun, very clearly you can see the sun. But your explanation is like a cloud covering the sun. What you are explaining, I can't understand. Sarvam Bhattacharya was surprised. He is the greatest scholar of Vedanta Sutra, and this is a young sannyasi telling that his explanations are not good. Then Sarvam Bhattacharya said, then what is real explanation of Vedanta Sutra? Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained Vedanta Sutra in category of Sambandha Gyan, Abhideya and Prayojan. Sambandha means knowledge of Krishna, myself, and my relationship with Krishna. Abhideya means do's and don'ts of bhakti. And prayojan is ultimate goal of life, Krishna prem, beyond dharma, artha, kama, moksha, beyond ordinary religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. And Sarvam Bhattacharya put forth his arguments, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated them. And in the course of putting four arguments and defeating, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted Atmaram verse. That verse says that even Atmaram, even self-satisfied souls, even liberated souls like Shukadeva Goswami, even they get attracted to Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami, he was born liberated person. He was in the womb of his mother and he did wanted to come out. For 16 years he was inside the womb. He said, outside is Maya, inside I am okay. Outside if I come they'll send me to school, inside is okay. He didn't wanted to come out. And at age 16, when he came out, he left home. He didn't even see the face of his parents, son of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva ran behind him, my dear son, come back, come back. But Sukadeva never replied, as if he doesn't exist. And he went to the forest, passing through the path which is along the river. Vyasadeva ran behind him. Now in that river, young village girls were taking bath without clothes. And Sukadeva Goswami passed, and as soon as the girls saw Vyasadeva, they felt shy and they started covering their body. So Vyasadeva stopped and he asked the girls, what kind of behavior is this? Just now my 16-year-old young boy without clothes crossed this path and you girls didn't cover your body. And now I'm a 90-year-old like your grandfather, and seeing me, you are covering your body? What kind of behavior is this? So the girls replied, Vyasadevji, my dear Vyasadev, your boy doesn't know the difference between male and female. So we don't need to cover body, but you make a difference, so we are covering body. So Sukadeva Goswami was beyond attraction to young girls without clothes, which is considered highest attraction in the material world. When he's beyond this attraction, highest attraction, will he get attracted to lower sense objects, say pizza or car or movie? No, because he's beyond even attraction to naked young girls. When Sukadeva Goswami passed that path and he saw naked young girls, not a single change happened in his body or mind. He's beyond lust. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to express conditioned soul situation, he said, as a sannyasi, when I see a wooden doll of a female form, I feel disturbed in mind. So what he speak about seeing young girls without clothes? But Sukadeva Goswami had no change in the heart, mind or body. So he's Atmaram, transcendental. He doesn't get attracted to any sense object. And in the forest, he heard verses of Bhagavatam from two disciples of Vyasadeva, and he got attracted to Bhagavatam and he wanted to know more. And he asked the brahmacharis, what you are reciting? He said, we are reciting shloka or Bhagavatam. He said, are there more? He said, yes, 18,000. He said, I want to hear. He said, come to my guru who wrote Bhagavatam. And he came back. Where did he come back? To back his home, to his father. Not to his father, to author of Srimad Bhagavatam, heard all the 18,000 shlokas, again left house. So that Sukadeva, who doesn't get attracted to young girls without clothes, if he gets attracted to Krishna's pastimes and Bhagavatam verses, that shows Krishna is transcendental. Bhagavatam book is transcendental. If Krishna is a historical, ordinary historical personality of this mundane world, or Bhagavatam is ordinary knowledge, Sukadeva Goswami will not get attracted. So he's Atmaram, but he got attracted to Krishna. So even jnanis can get attracted to Krishna. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this Atmaram situation, that how Atmarams also get attracted to Krishna, Sarvam Bhattacharya thought this is good time to defeat Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he had his own interpretation of this verse. So he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please explain this verse Sanskrit in detail. Chaitanya said, no, first you explain, you are senior person. So Sarvam Bhattacharya used his Sanskrit knowledge and explained that verse in 9 different ways. One verse in 9 different ways. Chaitanya said, wow, you are like Brahaspati. Nobody other than Brahaspati can explain this verse in 9 different ways. You are a great scholar. You are like Brahaspati. Brahaspati is spiritual master of the demigods in heavenly planets. So Sarvam Bhattacharya was very elated to hear this. A really great scholar. Then Sarvam Bhattacharya said, "My dear Mahaprabhu, now you explain this verse." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that verse in 41 different ways. And Sarvam Bhattacharya said, "You are God. Nobody else can explain this verse in 41 different ways. If Sarvam Bhattacharya can explain this verse in 9 ways and he is compared to Brahaspati, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can explain 41 different ways, that is God." And gradually he surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became a Vaishnava. So by association of pure devotee, only by association of a pure devotee, a person can become a devotee of Krishna. Bhakti is only obtained from a bhakta. So a jnani who thinks that I am Brahm, I am different from body, I am different from matter, at the same time he thinks I am God, he cannot get liberated. The only option for him is to come in contact with pure devotee of Krishna, hear Srimad Bhagavatam and render service. And any person who renders service to Krishna with love, engages in process of bhakti, he can get liberated. But the goal of life is not liberation. The goal of life is Krishna prema. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches, "Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va, jagadisha kamai, mama janmani, janmanishware, bhavatat bhakti aitu pitoi." I don't want anything. I just want your service. At the same time, new devotees or practicing sadhakas, if they want something material, they ask Krishna, he gives. Sarvakama, mokshakama, akama. Whether we have material desires or no desire or desire for liberation, Krishna gives. The highest thing is not to ask anything to Krishna. That is loving devotional service, pure devotional service. Just serve Krishna. But if somebody wants to ask, that's fine. Not highest, but not wrong. He gives. Krishna fulfills the desire of his devotees beyond the imagination of a devotee. Like once there was a naughty boy and his mother told, "Look, my dear son, tomorrow we are going to my sister's house, your aunt's house. There you don't be naughty. There you be silent." The boy said, "Okay." So the boy and mother went to the mother's sister house. Both the sisters are talking and the boy is sitting in the corner. After 1 or 2 hours, the aunt, the sister of the mother, she brought a tray full of chocolates. Now this naughty boy loves chocolates. They are his favorite. And every day he wants to eat chocolate. He forces his mother to buy chocolate every day. And here there's a full tray of chocolates. So the aunt said, "My dear boy, eat chocolate." He said, "I don't want." She said, "Children like chocolate, eat some." He said, "I don't want." She said, "You must be hungry, eat few." He said, "I don't want." She said, "Eat one, I am giving you with love." He said, "I don't want." 10 times he said, "Eat chocolate, eat chocolate, eat chocolate." He said, "No, no, no." What to do? She left it. Again, both sisters continued talking. After 3-4 hours, when they ended the meeting and the boy and mother are going, the aunt felt bad. He didn't eat anything. So she took a palm full of chocolates and put it in the pocket of his shirt. He said, "Go eat on the way." On the street, when mother and son are walking, this boy very rapidly takes one chocolate, unwraps, puts in the mouth. Take another, fast, fast, unwraps, puts in the mouth. Very fast, fast he eats. So mother says to the boy, "What kind of behavior is this? My sister told you 20 times, eat chocolate, eat chocolate, eat chocolate. You say, no, no, no. And now you are eating so fast, fast. What kind of behavior is this?" The boy smiled. He said, "Mother, my hand is small." You got it? My hand is small. If I had taken with my hand, very few would have come. Because I did not take with my hand, my aunt gave with her hand. Look, so many came. Clever boy, right? In the same way, my dear devotees, this world is full of chocolates and we all want to grab some. If we extend our hand to grab, very few will come. But if we fold our hands to Shyam Sundar, he extends his hand and grabs and puts in our pocket, lots will come because his hand is big. So the purpose of these hands is not to grab, but the purpose of hands to hold in bhakti, depend on Krishna, and he will give us. He is a maintainer, he has already given us. And the classic example is Kardam Muni in Bhagavatam. We all heard of Kardam Muni, who married to Devahuti Mata, and his son is Kapil Avatar, Kapil Muni, incarnation of Krishna. So Kardam Muni is a brahmachari, staying under a tree, having no house, no food, no clothes, no utensils, no toothbrush, no mobile. And he is fasting and doing tapasya, he is so skinny. And by his bhakti, Vishnu got pleased and Vishnu appeared on Garuda. And when Vishnu saw his devotee so skinny because of tapasya and bhakti, Vishnu had tears in the eyes. That tears got collected as Bindu Sarovar. Even that place is there today in Gujarat, in India. So after offering obeisances and prayers, Kardam Muni said, "My dear Lord, I want a suitable wife to marry, suitable girl to marry as my wife." Vishnu said, "I already know your desire. After 2 days, the emperor of this whole planet, Manu Maharaj, will come on a golden chariot with his beautiful daughter Devahuti and offer the girl to you. She is a princess. You accept her as your wife." And this happened. After 2 days, Manu Maharaj came on a golden chariot and offered Devahuti. And he married Devahuti and Kapila Muni was born. Now, which father will offer his daughter to a boy who has no house, no bank balance, no source of income, no clothes, no utensils, staying under a tree, no food? No father will do that. What to speak about emperor of the whole planet, Manu Maharaj? He did that. He gave Devahuti to a brahmachari boy who has nothing. Why he did that? Because he was inspired by Vishnu. So Kardam Muni's desire got fulfilled beyond his imagination. He got a princess to marry. And Devahuti is not an ordinary girl. She is very, very, very beautiful. When Devahuti was just 11 or 12 years of age, she was playing with her friends, girls together, with a ball on the terrace of her skyscraper palace. At that time, one private plane was passing in the sky, that was plane of a Gandharva. Gandharvas are those who sing and play musical instruments in the assembly of Indra, and beautiful apsaras are dancing, celestial beauties. Apsaras are very beautiful. So Gandharvas every day see beautiful apsaras dancing. And that Gandharva saw Devahuti playing with a ball. And he saw Devahuti so beautiful, so beautiful, so beautiful, that Gandharva fainted on the floor of his plane. One who sees apsaras dancing every day, if he faints on seeing Devahuti, how beautiful Devahuti must be. And that beautiful princess, poor brahmachari Kardam Muni got to marry. Why? Because he prayed to Krishna. If Kardam Muni had uploaded his biodata on a matrimonial website, do you think he would have got married Devahuti? Can we imagine Devahuti opening a laptop and showing to Manu Maharaj, her father, said, "This profile is nice. No job, no money, no clothes, no house, no utensils, no food. I'll marry this profile." Never it would have happened. Of course, she was inspired by Narad Muni. So Kardam Muni got to fulfill his desire beyond his imagination. So bhakti is highest, doesn't need speculative knowledge. And so nicely in this purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes Bilava Mangal Thakur, who is again pure devotee of Krishna, and who is offering prayer that, "Since I am busy in loving devotional service to Krishna, I don't need anything. Mukti Devi standing on my door. Knock, knock, Prabhu, can I come and offer service to you? And no, I'm busy serving Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna. Mukti is anyway servant of bhakti. Mukti anyway is available. And dharma, artha, kama, moksha anyway available. But the goal of life is Krishna Prem. ISKCON is made for that purpose. It's not just one another Hindu temple where people come, pray and go. ISKCON is more than that. It is here so that we come and do sadhana bhakti and develop 100% love for Krishna. Krishna wants our 100% love. Krishna is not interested in our 90% love or our 99% love or our 99.99% love. No. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo. When? Sarva dharman parityaja. Mam ekam sharanam raja. Mam ekam. Ekam means only. Mam ekam sharanam. Only surrender to me. 100%. Give up everything. Krishna wants 100%. That is his standard. And ISKCON is made for that. Gradually we grow. If somebody offers us water, a glass of water, 99% pure, are we interested to drink? Yes, no? 99% pure, 1% dirt. No, I want 100% pure water. That is my standard. So why Krishna's standard is less? He wants 100% pure love. If a husband tells wife, I love you, 99%. 1% somebody else. Will the wife be interested? No, she wants 100% love. Husband wants 100% love. So Krishna wants our 100% love. That's why ISKCON is created, Prabhupada started, to help us to develop Krishna Prem. So apart from fulfilling our desires, we have to fulfill Krishna's desire. That is bhakti. And Krishna's desire is that we all serve Him purely, gradually grow. Our faith becomes 100%. That 100% faith is called love. From Shraddha to Prema. So ISKCON society is so nice, association of devotees. We attend Mangala Aarti and Shringar Aarti and Narsingh Aarti, Tulsi Aarti, chant 16 minimum rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, hear Bhagavatam class, follow four regulative principles, and Prabhupada blesses us, perform devotional service, and we get love of Krishna. So we continue to be serious in our bhakti. Thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Chaitanamrita ki jai. Shri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna. Is there any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhupada. Well, the wives had conjugal love for Krishna as a lover. At that time, this pastime happened just before Govardhan Leela. So at that time, Krishna was 7 years. And Krishna's growth is 1.5x. That means at 7 years, he is 11 years. At 5 years, he is 7.5. At 11 years, he is 16 years. Right? So it was well known that Krishna had gopi friends, sakhis, and the brahmanas were very aristocratic. So when they said the wives, no, don't meet this boy, still they came to meet, they understood this is out of their loving relationship.
Yes, in their mind might be conjugal love, but in the eyes of the society, he's still a little boy. So
no.
How can they condemn?
Right, no. In the eyes of the society also, they knew Krishna had girlfriends and it is not good to associate. Okay.
5-year-old
girlfriends. Yeah, yeah. No, it's not 5-year-old. As I said, 7 and he was appearing as 10.5.
Even if he's 10 years old, he's still a child.
Okay. My understanding is at that time of Vedic culture, this was a serious matter. Yeah. It's there in Krishna book. Yeah. Next question. Yes, Mataji.
I was just wondering, kind of with the same story, in Vrindavan, the gopis and all of Krishna's playmates, they all were in yoga maya, and so I was wondering why sometimes it seems like they knew that Krishna, it seems like people knew that Krishna was God, like when the Brahmins considered their wives as guru. After, because they must have realized that Krishna was God. So I was wondering why sometimes they did realize that Krishna is God?
Yes. So some of the activities of Krishna, like killing demons and lifting Govardhan Hill, the knowledge would pop up that he is not an ordinary boy. And Garga Muni had told that he has qualities of Narayan, so he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then Yogmaya will again cover the knowledge so that the pastime continues. And they will say, no, Narayan acted through his body, he is just our ordinary boy. So Yogmaya will again cover it so that the love doesn't become diluted.
Okay, so it's temporary. They'll yes. temporarily realize yeah. it and then they forget.
Yeah, just a small pop-up. Thank
you.
Thank you. Yes, Prabhuji. Mike, yeah.
You said earlier that jnana, well, we can only reach Krishna or realize, that jnana is not necessary in order to attain Krishna. But isn't jnana the same as bhakti? You said that jnana and bhakti are different, but actually okay. jnana is bhakti when jnana is transcendental knowledge, isn't it?
Well, the knowledge to do bhakti is bhakti. For example, the knowledge, the information that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah. This information, this knowledge is bhakti because this information required to do bhakti.
So what would qualify jnana as bhakti?
That just the understanding that I am not this body, I am soul, and absolute truth is impersonal, and I am covered with maya, after my dhyana and after my process, I'll again merge or become absolute truth. So without the aspect of Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, or Krishna's form is transcendental, or I am servant of Krishna, just without this, if you minus these things, then it's just jnana.
In other words, knowledge of the material world by itself without Krishna is jnana, but it's not bhakti.
Yes. For example, we may read about some historical personality in our books, school books, right? For example, George Washington. But by reading about him, that is information or knowledge. We don't get George Washington prema. We don't get love. We don't engage in his service. So that's only jnana. But when we read about Krishna, we understand that I should serve him. So that's bhakti. So knowing about Krishna is bhakti. Make sense?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes, there's Mataji raising hand.
Thank you so much, Prabhu, for all the pastimes you've relayed. So the highest is to not ask Krishna for anything. Therefore, a person would be of a very elevated platform, not desiring anything from Krishna, but of course, prema. So if one is asking for something from Krishna, it seems, and the response isn't coming after a long time. That's relative, but a long time. Then it seems that there's, one would think, oh, I'm so impure, I'm not pure enough, therefore Krishna's not reciprocating. But pure enough is when you don't even ask. So how, you get the dilemma?
Well, no is a response.
No is a response.
So when Krishna is not fulfilling what I'm asking, actually he's saying no. Our background thought is, if I am asking, he should say yes.
Okay, yeah.
But he has a choice to say no.
Mm-hmm.
So for a long time, it is not getting fulfilled. That means he is saying no. And he is saying no because he loves us. Because mm-hmm. that is not good for us. Like a father, if the child asks something, father makes a choice, yes or no, based on what is good for the father. But the shopkeeper doesn't make a choice. If you give money, he will give. For example, a cigarette. Right? But if the father is asked by the child to give cigarette, father will say, not good for you, I will not give you. The shopkeeper has to give if the child is at a particular age where he can purchase cigarette. Right? So no means Krishna loves us. That's why he's choosing no, that this is not good for you. Krishna doesn't give that which may fulfill our desire but affect our bhakti. For example, if a person is a patient and some diet restrictions are there and he approaches the mother, mother will not give that nice foodstuff. Mother will say, no, not for you. Why? Because if the child eats it because he desires, his health will go more down. So our bhakti, our spiritual health should not go down. So Krishna says no sometimes for certain things. And we continue to be grateful to him. Okay. Hare Krishna. Krishna gives something, Krishna takes away. That is his mercy. Like a mother gives toy to the child and after 2 hours takes the toy back. And the child cries. But a mother is a well-wisher. And mother takes toy back because there's a change of activity. Now she will give a meal or a bed or a homework to do. So Krishna gives health, he takes away health. He gives money, he takes away money. He gives name, fame, reputation, he takes away. Because there's a change of activity in our life. Now there's something else required to continue to depend on Krishna. To continue to spiritually maintain ourselves. So we remain grateful to Krishna. Any more questions or comments? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I was very happy to be here in the Association of Devotees in this nice community. Thank you for offering me opportunity to serve you. Hare Krishna.